This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for tuning in on this beautiful Friday. And we will get back to taking your calls and having you all weigh in very shortly. But I'm very excited about our next guest. John Cardillo is joining us now. He's a former NYPD officer, and he's someone who is never afraid to tell you how he really feels. If you follow him on Twitter, you know that to be true. John, thanks so much for taking the time to be here with us today.
Always a great time to be with you.
John, the first thing I want to ask you about, and I would love your take on this, is I want your reaction to the insane data that we've received from the NYPD. There were stories in the New York Post about it and a lot of different publications. Basically, they put out a top 10 list, the worst of the worst. And these numbers, John, even for someone who I'm very aware of what's happening in New York, but even so, the numbers are staggering. I mean, one of the criminals at the top of the list had 101 career arrests. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think this is devastating. This is worse than, so I came out of the police academy a few months before Rudy Giuliani was inaugurated, and he started to turn the city around. I don't really go back to New York that much. I grew up there. I policed the city. My family's there. But I live down in Florida. I don't go back much. And a few weeks ago, I had to fly to Europe out of Kennedy Airport, so I went back. I stayed down on Wall Street, one of the nicer hotels. Grace, what I saw was sickening. It was, a drug addicts in doorways, hypodermic syringes on the street, just blatant crime and vandalism out in the open. One of the stats that really blew me away, and it tells you how dangerous these woke prosecutors are who won't prosecute. The NYPD knows who the bad guys are. The stat that blew me away, 30% of the shootings in New York City are committed by the same 716 bad guys. Meaning the police know exactly who they are, but when they go to arrest them for these shootings that are either felony assault, first degrees, or attempted murders, the prosecutors aren't prosecuting, and the far-left judges aren't remanding these people. And that's all a byproduct of Soros-funded woke prosecutors and moronic bail reform that sets violent criminals out to prey on the public. This is devastating to public safety, Grace.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up what's happening as far as these numbers go, because I keep thinking, like, how can any, especially with the bail reform laws, how can any of these politicians support it? Now, you have Mayor Eric Adams. He's being very vocal. We're going to get to him in a second because I have some questions for you about that. But I want to first focus on Kathy Hochul, because she's the governor of New York. She's really the only one who has the power to do anything about Alvin Bragg, Manhattan's district attorney. And she seems to be caught flat-footed. She doesn't seem to want to change anything. She doesn't think there's a real problem. How do you think all this spiking crime, this new report from the NYPD, how do you think this will affect the governor's race?
Considerably. You know, I mean, New York City is so far gone and far left, but at the end of the day, New York City did elect Rudy Giuliani, and they elected Rudy Giuliani in a climate much like this one. Crime was rampant. The real issue here is commerce, right, Grace? Without law and order, you don't have commerce. You don't have tourism. New businesses aren't opening. Existing businesses aren't flourishing. So without law and order, you don't have commerce, and people ultimately vote with their wallets. George Bush, 41, said it the best, it's the economy, stupid. And when your economy is suffering because of law and order or a lack thereof, that's when people take notice. And that's when they start to change the way they vote. I've spoken to Lee Zeldin, the GOP gubernatorial nominee in New York State. One of his first orders of business is going to be looking at all these prosecutors and deciding whether or not to suspend or remove them from office. But Alvin Bragg, who you brought up, the Manhattan District Attorney, is a particular kind of terrible prosecutor. And I'll explain why real briefly. He's not prosecuting armed robberies as armed robberies, but instead as petty larcenies. Meaning, if a bad guy sticks a gun in the face of a toddler while robbing that toddler's parents and no one gets hurt, that bad guy isn't charged with a felony armed robbery for sticking a gun in a baby's face. They're charged with petty larceny. It's the equivalent of shoplifting a bottle of shampoo from Walgreens. I mean, it is so abysmally horrible and dreadfully stupid and short-sighted, things are only going to get worse. And so I think any governor, Kathy Hochul should be doing it. The next governor, if God willing, it's a Republican like Lee Zeldin, should immediately remove Alvin Bragg from office, because only the governor has the power to do that.
Yeah, and I think part of this that's very frustrating for people and really heartbreaking for people who are victims of crime in New York or who lose someone in one of these horrible murders we're hearing about is the fact that this stuff doesn't have to be happening. I mean, there's things in politics, John, I know you know this, where people debate it and, you know, people have different ideas, or you try to figure out what's going on with the economy. And, you know, everything's more complicated when Democrats are in charge. Everything becomes, you know, very hard to hard to figure out. But in this case, these numbers, and you have people who are committing crime after crime after crime, it's not hard to understand what needs to happen. It's actually a really simple solution. So are people gathering together, or New Yorkers starting to talk? I mean, I have to imagine victims or people who have lost loved ones in some of these crimes are saying, why did my loved one have to die when this person could have been in jail, I don't know, 50 charges ago?
Well, yeah, the short answer is yeah. I mean, people are looking at this saying this is insane, but you still have that entrenched, hardcore left-wing Democrat mentality in New York City. The rest of the state has a lot of common sense. If you go to Long Island, if you go to upstate New York, even the counties surrounding New York City, Westchester, Rockland, people there are pragmatic voters. They don't really care about an R or a D. When crime is bad, they're going to vote for whoever's going to make their lives better. But let me go back to your first point. You know how frustrating it is for me to watch this and the men and women that I was served in the NYPD with, Grace, because of exactly what you just said. This can be solved in literally a day, and you'll start seeing results on the street in about a week or two. The bad guys know when the police and the prosecutors have their acts together. When Rudy was elected mayor, and then he was in 93, and he was inaugurated in January of 94, I had already been on the street for a few months. We started to notice a change for the better in 2 weeks. The bad guys knew the climate was changing. They couldn't get away with the blatant brazen stuff they were doing. So you're spot on. It's so easy to fix. And you'll start seeing demonstrable results nearly immediately. It's tragic and it's criminal that they're allowing this to happen. So it's going to be up to the voters. And yeah, I think they see it. Will enough in New York City vote R to make a change? I'm still pessimistic on that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up this idea of, you know, it could change and you could see a big difference. And there's a story in the New York Post today about the MMA fighter who really took down a guy in Soho who was bothering people, harassing people, and he detained the madman that he saw walking around sucker punching people. And you know, John, it made me think, and obviously it's not this guy's job to do that. It would be nice if the NYPD could do their jobs without being punished. And then if they did do their job, if the person could actually stay in prison for more than a few hours. But the reason I thought about this was because a lot of these situations where people fight back, or you see some of these bodegas where the owner has a weapon and shoots back at a criminal, it makes the criminal think twice. And I think that's what we're missing here. No one's thinking twice about doing anything in New York City.
Oh, look, I mean, come on, take Florida where I live, right? We're one of the most populous states in the nation now, incredibly diverse population. You don't see Antifa or Black Lives Matter rioting here, destroying cities in Florida. We've got the population for those kinds of things to spring up. And why? Because we have a governor and elected sheriffs that encourage the citizens of Florida to defend themselves. They make it very easy to carry a concealed weapon in Florida. The stand your ground laws are very advantageous. And you don't see those kinds of crimes here that you see in places like New York, California, Seattle, Portland. You're 100% right. When a bad guy thinks they're going to face any resistance, not even armed resistance, just any resistance, they're going to think twice and move on to a soft target. But when district attorneys in New York City are prosecuting the victims for defending themselves, man, what better way to enable thugs and murderers and rapists and robbers than to punish the victims who stand up for themselves?
John, one last thing here before I let you go. I would love your take on Christopher Wray yesterday. He was going back and forth with senators about everything from the Hunter Biden laptop to the Russia hoax. He loves to use the line like, oh, you know, it would jeopardize sources and methods. I can't comment on that. This man has been such a colossal failure, and I know that he makes me sick to my stomach when I watch any of these back and forths. What's your reaction to it?
Oh, I don't think he's a failure at all. I think he's a success. But he is doing by design what he was supposed to do, which is completely weaponize the FBI on behalf of the radical far left. A quick anecdote, Grace. I've got a friend on a federal task force. I won't say where to compromise them. But they were given 75 criminal referrals on the bank accounts of people who weren't even in D.C. on January 6th because of those people's conservative social media postings. That same team was never given one criminal referral from the Washington field office or FBI headquarters on Antifa, BLM, Hunter Biden, or any other leftist who blatantly committed crimes and violated federal law. Chris Wray knows he's weaponized the Bureau against the right, and he sat up there and he lied to Congress, and he should be prosecuted for it.
I know I said that was my last question, but I do have one more. I'm speaking with John Cardillo. John, before 2020, I used to ask you all the time. I'd say, John, what do you think is going to happen? Like, what are you seeing in Florida? You always had a good sense of the voters and the sentiment among voters. And lately, I've been seeing some pieces out there, mostly from liberal-leaning publications, about new polls that are showing the red wave is dissipating. It might not be what we thought it was. Do you think that's just the media trying to suppress voter turnout and kind of downplay voter morale, or do you think that Joe Biden and the Inflation Reduction Act and some of these abortion issues are going to help the Democrats in the midterms?
Now, I think we're doing okay. Tuesday night, let me tell your listeners, that's absolutely a true story. Grace and I used to have adjoining offices when we worked out of the same studio, and I think you asked me that question like every day.
I did.
When I got coffee. But in all seriousness, I think Tuesday night was a pretty good look at what's going to happen in November. And it was typically America First candidates winning those primary races. So, no, I think the media is very nervous, the left-wing corporate media. I think Democrats are nervous. They're trying to change the narrative. But I'm pretty optimistic with what I saw Tuesday night and the types of candidates who won, in addition to the Republican turnout numbers. So I think it's still going to be a pretty healthy red wave. We're going to be happy come November.
John Cardillo, please tell my listeners where they can follow you on Twitter, because a lot of people are already asking.
It's really simple. Just at John Cardillo, JohnCardillo. You can find everything there.
Perfect. Thank you so much, John. We always love your insight. We'll have you on again soon. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. Dr. Houghton is great at what he does because he loves what he does. He cares so much. He's so passionate about it. And he also just happens to be one of the nicest people I know. So you're not going to find anyone better than Dr. Houghton when it comes to taking care of your smile or changing your smile. If you're not happy with your smile, and if you've been unhappy with it for a long time, this is your sign. Make a change. Make a difference. You can really change up your smile, and it changes your confidence. It changes how you interact with people, and it helps you take care of yourself because you deserve it. So call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire, because the better you look, the better you feel. Or you can visit them at perfectsmiles.com. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of your life becomes a lot easier. That's perfectsmiles.com. They're located right off Route 3. They have plenty of parking. The staff is unbelievable. Change your smile, change your life. Go to perfectsmiles.com. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
There's something going on here, and I want to make one other quick point. A lot of businesses are still having problem finding workers. We estimate, because of this absurd, crazy, what they call the Inflation Reduction Act, that will reduce employment in the country by about 900,000 people. That's according to Casey Mulligan, one of the top labor economists, because the increase in the health benefits is no longer tied to work. And so you're going to have more disincentives for people to work. That's a terrible, terrible bill.
That was Steve Moore, who's clearly not one of the 17 Nobel laureates, because he was not happy about this Inflation Reduction Act, which Kristen Sinema announced that she is on board with. She made a couple of changes, but nothing that's going to, you know, make any of us very happy. The U.S. economy did add 528,000 jobs in July, so the White House is taking a major victory lap, and Joe Biden's out there right now. He's live with his aviators on. I'm sure he's got his confidence back. He's probably telling everyone, yeah, that's right, I told you so. Things are looking up. I'm not as sure that he'll mention inflation at all.
His voice is not hoarse, so that part of his COVID apparently he has gotten past, even though he's still testing positive.
All righty. Jeremiah, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for having me on the phone.
Of course.
What I wanted to talk to you about is the $20 billion allotment that's going to go to farmers to not grow food in the new package, the new Build Back Better. Or whatever you call it, the inflation fighter or something.
Yeah, it's like diet Build Back Better.
Yeah, well, here's what the problem with that is. First off, their reasoning was we've got to rest the land. You know, what they're doing is degrading farmers. You don't think of them as farmers anymore. They're not people that are going on there, you know, and standing in back of a mule and plowing their fields and hand planting them. These guys are engineers. They know when to rest their farmland. They know when to do it. They alternate. They rotate their crops. They're very smart people, unlike the Washington crowd. Number two, this is a step toward oligarchy, which is another sign of communism. Bill Gates is not going to take the $20 billion. He's going to grow 24/7 and probably wear out his land, so they can control the food supply to the American people. Then they have us. And, you know, I want Republicans not to react to this, but I want them to propose legislation to go in there. At least we might be able to get some headlines or something like that. I don't want a situation where we go, where Trump comes back in and, you know, they try to repeal these things and replace them with something else, just like the health care plan, and they don't have any plan to back it up or anything along that line. I don't want us to get caught with our pants down a second time.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. It's a great point, Jeremiah, and you're right to be skeptical of Republicans. But as far as your comments on farmers go, I love that point because it brings me back to when the Morning Joe crew was laughing at Devin Nunes being a dairy farmer. They do. They look down on farmers. They think, hey, listen, Bill Gates can buy up all the farmland and he can do what you're doing and he'll make the environment better, too. He told us so from his $20 billion yacht that when he buys up all the farmland in the United States and he starts to grow tofu burgers for all of us, that he's going to do it, and he's going to do it by making the world greener and safer and better. You're right. They do. They degrade the job of farmers, and they act like they know better. And it all kind of ties into what we had John Daniel Davidson on about a few weeks ago. Not even. I think it was last week when he was talking about, and Jared, this is more your expertise, what the main goal is.
Yeah, he mentioned this, that the power elites, of which the American government, Bill Gates, all these people included, they want to control everything. They want to control the food that you get, that is made, that is distributed to you. They want to control that. They want to control shipping. They want to control everything to get you back to your peon level of needs based, where basically you only have your absolute needs at the whim of the government.
And I do think that, you know, when they come out with these pieces about, hey, by the way, do you know how yummy crickets are? You should be eating bugs. It's because that stuff's not working. Like, people still want to eat their steaks. So if they can't convince you through coercion, then they'll just control it and then you'll have no option. You know, then it's like, well, no, you have to eat this bean burger because this is what you have available to you now, because now we control all the farmland. We took it away from the credulous boomer farmers. And now Bill Gates gets to decide what you get to eat. Does that sound yummy? 844-500-4242. We got so much more to get into. Keep calling in, and we'll talk about whatever it is you have on your mind today. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
What we do know is that Americans hate this economy, right? The CNN poll out recently found that 64% of Americans believe the U.S. economy is currently in a recession. Now, that may not be the case, but that's what people feel. And
don't
that
tell
is
me how to feel.
Exactly. True. But that is because of the high cost of living. People haven't experienced like this, anything like this, many of us, in our lifetimes. And they're feeling it at the gas station, the grocery store, at the mall. And until that improves, people are still going to dislike this economy.
Yeah, that was from CNN. And Joe Biden was out there today with his aviators on. He wears the aviators, first of all, when he doesn't want his team to have to worry about the blinking situation, but also when he's feeling like Cool Joe, you know, when the wind is at his back and he is feeling groovy. That is when Joe puts on the old sunglasses and he comes out and says, "Hey, see the jobs. We had 599,000 jobs. Check the jobs. Check." And that's all well and good. Congrats to Joe. I'm glad you guys got a win under your belt. Lord,
good for you, Jack.
Lord knows you need it. I hope that he enjoys a nice big scoop of ice cream with the Easter Bunny tonight. I am so, so proud of everyone at the White House, all the eggheads who made this happen. We couldn't have done it without you. However, it would be nice if you could address, I don't know, inflation. That would be also a bonus. It feels like you guys don't want to take responsibility for anything when things are going bad, but the second you get a bit of good news or unexpected news, like we're seeing today, which again, great, great stuff, love to see it. It seems like then that's when you want to come out and have us all sing you a song and celebrate you and, you know, put a crown on your head and tell you what a great job and kiss the ring. And I would be able to do that a little bit more if you weren't passing the buck 99% of the time. So you went out there today. And the funny thing about it, Jared, is, like you said, they don't miss an opportunity to bring him out if something good happens. They rush him towards the camera so he can talk about it and how he can take credit. You know, this is all my doing. But even in that, he bungles it. You know, even in that, he puts his foot in his mouth. The story doesn't become about the jobs. It becomes about all the mistakes he's making while he's giving his speech from the teleprompter and how he doesn't seem like he's all there. We'll play you some of that sound in a little bit, but they are touting this massive tax and spending bill. Kristen Sinema has announced her decision on the reconciliation bill, the Inflation Reduction Act. As I said before, it's Build Back Better Lite. And I love one of my favorite. There's a few. We could do a whole segment on like what's your favorite Democratism, something that they always, a liberalism they always say when they're trying to pull one over on you. And I love Elizabeth Warren's baked in. I'm a big fan of baked in. It's baked in. If we pass this bill, it will be baked in. The payments are baked in. The canceling student loan debt is baked in. But another one I love is it's already paid for, which really goes side by side with baked in. And I love this one because I always go back to the example of buying a sandwich for someone. And I usually use Jared in this example, where if I bought Jared a sandwich and instead of saying thank you, thanks, Grace, for buying me this, he went around the office and told everyone, "Oh, I got this sandwich for free. Yeah, I got the sandwich for free. Free sandwich." Everyone in the office would probably get the wrong idea. They might even think that the sandwich place down the street is just giving out sandwiches, when in reality, someone in the office bought you the sandwich. That is how Democrats like to frame all of these spending bills. It's already paid for. By who? Or by whom? Or by, I don't know, the grammar on the who, whom thing's never been my thing. But someone's paying for it. It's one of the oldest expressions. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And they fully believe their own BS when they say, it's already paid for. No one under $400,000 will have to pay for this. Guess what? If you're making less than $400,000, I'm pretty sure soon you'll be considered to be making more than $400,000. Get ready to get a big increase. You're going to be a millionaire before you know it.
Well, that doesn't fall in line with their other line about, you know, corporations pay no taxes. So this money is baked in. It's in there because the corporations are going to get taxed. But the only people paying taxes, according to them, are the people who make under $400,000, the normies. So, yeah, we're paying for it. Like, even that argument doesn't hold up.
Well, they are going to tax corporations 15%. I don't know if Kristen Sinema was able to bring that down a little bit, but they consider that paying your fair share. So they're going to tax these big corporations 15% because things are going so great for these big corporations right now with the supply chain crisis and the cost of everything. I'm sure they can afford that. And none of that will be passed down to the workers, of course. And Joe Manchin's, he's standing by this. And Kristen Sinema, and I read a great headline in approving this or in, you know, going along with this and caving to this, however you want to put it, she sealed Joe Manchin's fate because he's the face of this. He is the face of this bill. And if it doesn't work out the way the Nobel laureates are telling him it's going to work out, if it doesn't work out the way Joe Biden and KJP think it's going to work out, or how John Harwood thinks it's going to work out, it's not going to be good for Manchin. That houseboat is going to have to turn on its motor and go out to sea because people are not going to be happy. Even if he's got some vague promise in the bill about a pipeline in West Virginia, I don't think West Virginians will be happy if inflation increases. And especially after all these months of him telling us, you know, how he doesn't feel like it's the right time to spend all this money. Now, I do want to play this cut from Angus King. He's a Democrat, and you got to hear this. This is cut 13.
He is technically an independent, but he does caucus with the Democrats.
Like I said, he's a Democrat.
He's a Democrat.
No, thank you, Jared, for the clarification. See, it's like I have Reuters in the studio with me at all times.
He was my governor when I lived in Maine.
You were my own
clown then.
You're my own personal Glenn Kessler. Everyone should have a Glenn Kessler to keep them in check. Let's have cut 13, please. Angus King.
Well, I think the first thing I want to say about the bill, here's the breaking news, guys. This is a bipartisan bill. It's bipartisan everywhere but in the U.S. Capitol. The Morning Consult did a poll this week, and just going down the numbers, I mean, basically they pulled all the individual provisions of the bill, and it's sort of unbelievable. Limiting annual pocket drug costs for seniors to $2,000. 72% favor, 11% against. Minimum tax on corporations,
yeah,
63
hold on,
to 21.
You know what I hate about politicians is, like, they'll take something, and they can really turn it into whatever they want it to be. Oh, we polled people on all of these separate things, and because they thought they were good ideas, they're all on board for spending billions of dollars on that, plus a bunch of pork we didn't tell them about when we were asking them if they thought these things were good ideas. Like, you don't have to be a genius to figure out that you can bend and mold these numbers in any way you want to create a narrative. And that's all they're doing. And I love the idea of it's bipartisan everywhere except for in D.C. Everyone agrees with it. Regular Americans, you know who used to pull that a lot was Psaki. She would say, you know, the average Republican is on board with this. Yeah. Okay. Sure thing. Sure, Jen. I want to talk about this with the listeners. The number is 844-500-4242. But another thing I wanted to add in here, this is just a fun little side note for people. The police group that Paul Pelosi, he flashed his membership card for this police group. It's called the California Highway Patrol, 1199. And when Paul Pelosi, or as the Daily Mail likes to call him, husband DUI Paul, or was it DUI husband Paul? Or Paul DUI husband. I'm not sure which. But when he got pulled over in Napa, he flashed this card. And I like to call it a do you know who I am card. He flashed this card to the police officers. They said, can we have your license or registration? And he threw that card in there to say, you know, listen, I'm good to you. You should be good to me. I mean, there's no question that's what the move was. And now that police group is thinking about revoking Paul Pelosi's membership. Because they don't appreciate him using it as a get. He thought it was a get out of jail free card. I support the police. Here's my get out of jail free card. And that didn't work out. The do you know who I am is fascinating because it's been going on for so long. And it never really works. Or maybe it works and we just don't hear about the cases where it works. But I think it has the opposite effect on people. Like, people in a position of authority don't appreciate name dropping or trying to, like, you know, use your status to get away with something.
It doesn't work on the arresting officer or the patrol officer. It works on the judges. That's who it works on, but it doesn't work on your average officer.
And now is a particularly bad time to do it because everyone's got body cams. So there's a good chance if they don't like you, and there's always a 50-50 chance they're going to like you. Like, yeah, you're Paul Pelosi, and maybe you get a police officer who's a big fan of Nancy, who thinks Nancy's just doing a bang-up job. But there's also a pretty good chance that you don't. And that's a risk that you run when you start pulling out cards. At least he didn't say, my wife's the Speaker of the House. That would have been a little too Whitmer-esque. Remember, we could do an entire 2 o'clock on the funniest Do You Know Who I Am's. Because my favorite, I don't know which one's my favorite, but Whitmer's husband trying to get his boat in during COVID and saying, my wife's the governor. That one was pretty good. That one was at least in my top five. 844-500-4242. Liz Cheney basically had a Do You Know Who I Am ad, because now she's having her dad star in her campaign ads to try to help her not lose in Wyoming. And meanwhile, she's got Kevin Costner with a t-shirt on that says, I'm voting for Liz Cheney, or I support Liz Cheney, or something. And she said, real men support Liz Cheney. To which I said, okay, you sound kind of, what's the word I'm thinking of? Prejudice against, well, what is a real man, Liz? I was told that there's no definition, that it's a fluid definition.
Male and successful.
Can you define what a male is, or what a man is, or what a real man is? I don't think I like that one bit. I would like to issue a complaint to Liz Cheney's office. Jared just went through a whole bunch of testing for his allergies and found out that dust mites are included. Is that true, Jared?
That is true. Real men have allergies is what I like to say. I'm allergic to dust mites, which are everywhere, embedding all over the house. I'm allergic to grass, pollen, trees, dogs, cats, you name it. But I don't have to worry about that because I have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which has been great for my allergies because you just turn it on and it ionizes the air and it creates that super oxygen, which gets rid of allergens and pollutants and other nasty stuff in the air. In fact, a mailroom manager just gave me one as a shower gift, as well as some nice cute outfits. But I got that as a gift as well. So now I have that one to keep in my car. So when I'm sitting in traffic because all of the T lines are shut down and I can't get anywhere else, I have my Pure Air with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm.
Don't let me forget to go to the T News in the next hour. That's important. A little bit of local news for everybody. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm is a great product. And right now you can get three, which is so awesome. Like Jared, you can have one in your kitchen, your basement, your car. So get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3 to get the Thunderstorm. It works on odors. It works on purifying the air, relieving allergies. And with inflation, you may want to get your Christmas presents early and get the 3-pack. It's great for that, too. So order today at EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACE3. Adam, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thank you, Grace. I just have a question I want to ask, put in your mind. I think Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan was very measured in the sense that she wants to be president. I don't think you've heard this before. She wants to be president. I think Biden is going to be retired one way or another. I think Kamala is going to be bought off, and I think
all right, Adam, you're breaking up. I did catch the beginning of it. This hasn't happened often on the show, but I don't have words for that. The idea of Nancy Pelosi being president is frightening. It's frightening. She's 80 years old, right?
Oh, I don't doubt that. It's crossed her mind. If there's a red wave, she's going to lose the gavel again. So her ambition to become, that wouldn't shock me.
80 years old? What are we doing?
I can't believe I'm saying this. She's sharper than Biden?
Yeah, she's a young 80 for sure.
I think she was more interested in making sure that her stocks are going to go up and that these chips are going to be done correctly. That's what I think. was more what was going on.
Yeah, the pink power suit. It was a little bit, it was optics. It was probably something to do with the chips. Presidential, I don't know. President Nancy Pelosi, that one never crossed my mind. And I've heard a lot, and I've read a lot of crazy things this week. I also read that maybe Kamala will be the one to reject the Inflation Reduction Act, which I think that was James Freeman. That's also crazy. But President Pelosi, whew. Wow, Adam, way to send me into the weekend with just nightmare fuel. Thanks a lot. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with a lot more. We're going to go to some Christopher Wray stuff, and we'll talk about Dick Cheney making a comeback. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who'll pull in more votes for Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney or Kevin Costner?
I'm a huge fan of the movie The Bodyguard, starring Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. It's one of the best soundtracks of all time, right up there with Notting Hill. And I've also heard great things about Yellowstone. So as far as I'm concerned, popularity-wise, fandom-wise, I think Kevin Costner has Dick Cheney beat. Based off what I've been hearing the last couple of years, people aren't too hot on Dick Cheney. And even though his daughter's an anti-Trumper and he's an anti-Trumper, I don't think that, I don't think even that can save him. So I'm going to say Kevin Costner.
81% of the audience now says Kevin Costner.
We should play some of this ad, Jared. This is Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney getting together to try to save her, her spot as a congresswoman. Cut 17, please.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He's a coward. A real man would...
Hold on a second. Howie's going to focus on the coward part during his show. I'd like to focus on the lies part here because I was pretty young when Dick Cheney was VP, but did he tell a couple lies? Any notable and quotable lies, Jared? Anything that we might want to flash back to?
He, in fact, did. I remember this. A lot of people probably remember this one.
Simply stated, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Oh.
There is no doubt that he is amassing them to use them against our friends, against our allies, and against us. And there is no doubt that his aggressive regional ambitions will lead him into future confrontations with his neighbors, confrontations that will involve both the weapons that he has today and the ones he will continue to develop with his oil wealth.
If only we had Twitter's fact-checking team or Snopes.com at that time, someone could have fact-checked this into reality for us. So that guy, the one I just heard from, who told that whopper, that really did change the course of history.
Yeah.
It was, he's calling someone else a liar.
20-year war, basically.
But he's calling someone else a liar.
Yes.
Is that what they say, throwing glass stones? Would that apply in this situation, Jared?
Yes, throwing glass WMDs.
Very good. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we're going to make it a local segment, and Jared's going to give us an update on the latest transportation in Massachusetts to bite the dust. It's unfortunate. We'll get right to that. We'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. It's Friday. Don't go anywhere.